right, you're listening to WTUL New Orleans 91.5 FM. We are here in the studios this Wednesday morning on your News and Views programming. I'm Gahiji here with Diane Jones, and she is here to tell us about her experience with the criminal justice system here in New Orleans, some of her own personal experience, some experiences with friends and family, and she's got a lot to talk about. We have a little bit of relationship outside of here in the studio, but I've heard some of her stories. Diane, thank you, and welcome to the show. Let's start with how did you end up in OPP? Let's start there.
I was picked up for possession of marijuana with an attempt to distribute.
So what was that experience like? We'll start from the street to the cage. So you're on the street. What are you doing before you get picked up? And then how does the arrest happen?
Sitting outside with a couple of my friends, reading a newspaper and just talking. The cops roll up, say that they got a call for guns and crack cocaine. So they decided to search the car, and the young lady decided to handcuff me and search me. She went into my clothing, went into my bra.
Let's back up for a minute there. Hold on. Let's take this story slow. So when they came and searched her car, so you're on the curb, they come up, they say, you've got somebody here, we got a call, somebody here has guns. And so you say, when they say you've got guns, what do y'all say?
We don't have any guns. We don't have anything, you know. We don't have no guns or anything like that.
How do they then pinpoint it to this call being about you?
She said that somebody called Crime Stoppers and said that we were sitting outside with a car full of guns.
So they just said someone called Crime Stoppers and said someone's sitting on the corner of these two streets with guns. Did they give any description? Like, how was it that the cops were then able to say, you are the people that they were talking about in this call?
They didn't give any description. They just pulled up in the unmarked cars with plain clothing on and attacked us and handcuffed us, didn't tell us who they were, handcuffed us, and illegally searched us. And she went into my clothing, went in my bra, and got my personal dime bag of marijuana and my full cigars. And they charged me with possession within the tent to distribute. And possession of paraphernalia.
Even them approaching you in this way is so bizarre to me, that because you're not in a car. They said that where was your car in relation to where you were?
My car was on the other side of the street.
So your car was on the other, so it wasn't like right in front of you, and you weren't in your, you nobody was in your car or around your car when they came up, and they still searched your car?
Yes, they searched the car, and they searched us too.
Did they have a warrant?
They didn't have anything. They took the other guy off the corner, and it came, got me. I was reading the newspaper, and they handcuffed us, and they searched all of us.
Did they ask you, as they were proceeding, can we search you? Can we search your car? Or did they say, or like, how did that go?
They said they got us a call from Crime Stoppers saying that we had guns in the car. That's what they said.
And they showed no paperwork like, okay, because we have this call, we got a warrant, and on this car or this corner or whatever it may be, pinpointing you and your car, the people that you're with. So basically,
No. They just came straight up to us and they took us to jail. Yeah.
See, I'm so baffled by just that point alone. That's why I wanted to take this story slow, because there's so much always to unpack, but from arrest to conviction or to jail or to, like I said, from street to cage, basically. And this shows a lot right here, because it's like, how can they approach you in this way, not really have any evidence or probable cause? You're not near this vehicle. They don't have a warrant, and they search you. And you said they went into your personal, so searched you in that way when they're really only allowed to just pat you down and look for weapons. They didn't get your permission to do these things. They just told you they were going to do them, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, because they handcuffed you first. She handcuffed me first, and then she went to, like, illegally searching me. She went into my clothing.
Did she say you were under arrest when she put you in handcuffs?
No, she did not. They didn't even read us our rights. No, she didn't. It was like they were just searching us. She handcuffed me. As she was searching us, I guess she was, like, scared that we were going to run or something.
So from the time when they approached you, how much time passed before you were in handcuffs? How much would you estimate? When was the arrest take place?
When she ran my name, well, as soon as she rolled up, she handcuffed me.
Okay, so they basically rolled out. And how were they dressed?
She had on blue jeans and a jacket, plain clothing. These were undercover cops.
So you didn't see a badge when they approached you?
No, they don't come up with it yet until she, like, jump out of the car and wait a while, and then they'll tell you that they're the police or whatever.
So she didn't jump out, or she, he, they, I don't know how many of them there were. So you said there, but you said she, right?
Yeah, she.
Okay, so she jumps out. She doesn't say, police, you're under arrest. No, she just jumps out and kind of comes up on you.
She jumped out with a gun and she said, put your hands up.
Okay, with a gun.
Yeah, she jumped out the car with a gun and said, put your hands up.
Now, let's put this in context a little bit. So somebody jumping out of a car at a gun with you in New Orleans, like, and they don't say that they're, I mean, even if it is the, like, that's, how does that play out to you? How do you feel in that moment when someone's jumping out of a car, not identifying themselves, with a gun in your face? How did you feel at that moment?
I was kind of scared because, you know, somebody just, you know, just running up to me, just like pointing a gun in my face. And I'm like, what's going on? And she was like, put your hands up. So I put my hands up and she just put the handcuffs on me.
My heart's beating faster just thinking about someone jumping out of a car. I mean, I've had a gun in my face before, but not in that kind of, all of a sudden you're on a corner hanging out with your friends, and then there's a gun in your, someone's jumping out of a car with a gun in your face. This is, when I talk about police terror on this show and in life in general, this is what I'm talking about. This is police terrorism right there.
They took us from on Dumaine and Johnson Street and brought us to the First District Police Station, and they were like really, really like trying to like humiliate us.
So, okay. So obviously it sounds like there was, I guess we should move past the street, because there's a lot there, period, though. We could use the whole show just talking about what happened to you on the street there. But okay, so they arrest you, and how many people were you with?
One guy. I was two of us. It was three of us. Two of us went to jail.
Okay. Why did the third person not go to jail?
Because he was standing on the corner. As opposed to them rolling up, catching all of us.
So wait, how far away was he from you? Like, how far were you from the corner then?
Couple of steps. We were like a couple of steps from the corner.
So what did he have? Like, his back turned to you? So when she jumped out, so it didn't look like he was with you, and then he just kept walking or something like that? What?
No, they called his parole officer, and his parole officer came there, took him home, and searched his house. And they didn't find anything at the house, so they had no probable cause to take him to jail.
But I guess because he's on parole, his rights are severely limited as far as his parole officer coming into his house and searching his belongings, even though there was really no indication of him doing anything wrong, right?
Right.
Okay. So now, you're in handcuffs. So they've searched you, put their hands inside of your clothing, inside of your bra, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Which we said that's actually illegal. They can pat you down for weapons, but they cannot put their hands inside of your clothing or just search your vehicle without reasonable suspicion. Like if you have something in plain sight, a gun not being one of them, if you are, if it is your licensed gun to have, you can have it in your car in plain sight, but they cannot just search your the police cannot just search your car or go in your pockets or your clothing without having reasonable suspicion, probable cause, warrant to do so. Okay, so they've done so. They find, okay, that's right. Actually, we still do need to spend a little bit of time on the street. So they go in your clothes and they, how is it that they come up with the weed and the distribution charge?
That's what I want to know. How could they give me a possession with an attempt to distribute when I'm claiming this is my own personal marijuana and I have full cigars with it?
Okay, so how much weed did they find in your bra?
A dime bag. Two nickel bags.
Just two nickel bags. And they charge you with attempt to distribute?
Yeah, possession with an attempt to distribute.
And you said that you had cigars on you, so you were intending to smoke with these cigars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I wasn't offered...
No, please.
I wasn't offered the diversion program or anything like that. There was a lot of females that were coming in there for like one and two bags of marijuana that was offered the program, but I guess by the cops giving me three charges, that's why I wasn't offered the program. Okay. But that's what they do to make it hard for you. Possession, transaction of drugs, I have that charge, and a marijuana charge. I had like three charges. Possession of marijuana, possession with an attempt to distribute, and transaction of drugs.
Did the cops at all explain what they were charging you with and why?
Yes. They said the area that I was in is known to be a drug area, so it was like I was selling drugs by me having a marijuana bagged up. It was like we all were selling drugs in that area because it's a high drug area, so they just came... pick us out of the group and just sit. We're selling drugs.
See, I wish you could see my face here in the studio because I did kind of a side eye at that. It's a known area for selling drugs, but they had a call about you hanging out with some guns in a car. Meanwhile, you're on a corner, not even near your car, and they find weed illegally. They find two dimes bags of weed illegally in your bra and charge you with attempt to distribute.
Yes.
Because
Where's the other person? When it's attempt to distribute, that means that I sold to somebody. So who did I distribute to? You know, who did I distribute to? There was no way that they could prove this, but when you go to jail, mm-hmm. it's like your word against their word.
Right. They tend to believe the police over the people, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So from there, they took us to their little police station because they had to, like, run our names through and try to get information from us. But I wouldn't talk to them and stuff like that. So they got mad with me, and they hurry up and transported me to the lockup. I was in a cage from Thursday. I slept in a cage from Thursday to Friday.
Okay.
Friday night, I was moved to the tents.
Okay, so let's go from Thursday. What time Thursday did you get in there?
I was arrested Thursday for 12 o'clock.
Thursday for, okay, 12 p.m.
Yes.
So middle of the day, high noon, you're getting arrested on, sounds like, Dumaine and Johnson. And walk us through that booking process. Like, let's really take a slow stroll through the Thursday to Friday, and then we'll talk about what happens.
Okay. The booking process.
Uh-huh.
Okay, when you first walk in the lockup, they're going to put you on a wall and, like, search you again to see if you have any more drugs on you or whatever.
Okay, slow scroll us through this search. What is the search like?
You put your hands on a wall.
Okay.
You turn around, and the deputies come search you. They do the little search thing like that.
Okay,
and you take your shoes off.
So patting down, or how intimate do they get with you? Do they just kind of rub down your front, or do they grope you? Do they go all in? Like, and how clothed are you?
You're fully clothed. They just like pat you down. Okay. But they tell you to take your shoes off and take the things out of your shoes and shake your shoes and stuff. Okay. Then from there you go in.
Okay. So where do you go next from there? And have you been like fingerprinted and photographed or?
No.
Okay, so you've been patted down. Your shoes have been taken. You've shaken your shoes out.
Yeah, I have my shoes in my hand. I go sit in a chair.
Okay, so you go sit in a chair. How many other people are around you? And like, how many chairs? Is there a row of chairs? What does it look like?
It's like a row of chairs. It's like me, like four people. It's like four of us sitting there waiting for them to call your name.
Do you know any of these people, or is this just random other people? Are you still with the people that you
hate? Random is.
So they separated you. How soon did you go in the cop car together, or were you separated?
We went in a cop car together.
Okay.
And when you get in a lockup, there are other people that's being processed too.
Okay.
So you get to sit by them and stuff like that until you're processed.
Okay.
And from there, you go to the different windows. You get your photo. You go to medical, booking, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So from there, you get your phone call. Then you go to the cage.
Do they take your photo? When do they take the photo that they put in? What's that magazine?
Where the Weekly Jailer.
Who's Busted or whatever. What is that called?
Busted. Yeah, it's like the Weekly Jailer. Yeah, they take your photo. Awesome. They don't even ask you, can they take your photo? Well, even if you're not getting convicted of these charges, because a lot of people get picked up and they don't be convicted of these charges.
Hey, once you're arrested, that's all, you know, news for and fodder.
Once you go to the cage.
Okay. So you go through the holding cell, you get patted down, you drive in, you get separated from your people, and then you get mixed in with other folks.
Yeah.
Are also getting processed. You get patted down.
And then they decide to call one group to go into the cage. It's like they call your name, and then you have to go into the cage. And you stay into the cage until the next day, until it's time for you to go to court.
So what does that cage look like?
What does it look? It's concrete.
Does it have bars? Does it have windows?
There's no windows, no nothing. It's a cage. They have the women on one side and the guys on the other side. There's no window. There's no nothing.
How many people are in there? Or how many people were in there when you were in there?
When I was in there, it was 20 of us.
How many people did it look like it should hold?
Oh, no.
Like, how many? What do you think would have been an appropriate number for that appropriate number of people for that space?
It should be like, I say a good 10, because it wasn't anywhere for us to sleep. We all were sleeping on top of each other, or you had to sleep on the floor because the bench that's going around it, imagine how big, you know, we are as women, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere for you to sleep. You have to sit up and lean on a wall, or you sleep on the floor.
Okay, and how many hours were you in there for? You said Thursday till Friday? Thursday, so 12 noon.
Yeah, Friday you go to court.
Okay, Friday, what time do you go to court?
I went to court Friday morning.
How early? was your concept of time kind of lost at that point?
There's no clocks. You know, we don't know what time it is. The only thing you know is that they come get you and tell you it's time to go to court. When it's time to go to court, you have to get up, get in a van. Okay, we're not dressed. We have on our regular clothes. So first of all, we all have to dress down to go to court. You have to take your street clothes off to put on their OPP clothes now to go to court.
Okay, so when you're in the holding cell, you still have your clothes on, right? They didn't put you in any other clothes yet. They still kept you in yours. Okay, I feel like we have to go back for a second, though. There's something that we need to unpack before getting to court. Okay, so we talked about the number of their – you said they're – are about 20 women?
Yeah, it was 10... about 20 women in a holding tank with me. We all just were sitting there like some...
Okay, I still want to be in the cell a little bit so that we can get a good feel about what this cell looks like. So tell me about like the temperature, like what kind of conversations, like what is the dynamics between the women in these cells? Like there are women and there are men across the ways. Like are there communications between the two sides? Like, come on, let's paint a picture of what it's like to be in that cell, have the men across.
You can't talk to the men. There's no way that you can. They don't want us, like, conversating with them. And it's like all of us women are in a cell, and we all are telling stories and, you know, telling how we got here. And when I was in a lockup,
what are some of the stories
I witnessed
you heard
there? To see a guy that was on heroin.
Okay.
He came in a lockup and he was sitting in a chair and he was throwing up green stuff. So I hollered to the deputy and I'm like, he's on heroin. He needs to get a shot because he's about to die. By being so cold in there, he took his shirt off and laid on the floor. And they waited a while before they can get medical. It was like almost an hour later, and then they came and like took care of him, and he was okay. But there's nobody there for these people who are on drugs and stuff like that. They are put in population with you, and they go to the dorm with you.
So it's really cold in there.
Yes.
And how many beds were there actually 10 beds in there even? You said it was a space for 10 people. Were there even 10 beds?
No, it's like five pieces of benches, like all the way going all the way around. It's like a piece of wood in a concrete place, no blanket, no nothing. You're just like everybody's trying to sit together to keep warm.
Really? And yeah. So what about food?
A bologna sandwich. You get bologna, green bologna. You get two sandwiches and a cup of water. That's what you get.
Is there a vegetarian option?
No, there isn't. You have to eat what they're cooking for you. You have to eat it.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just take a break to read some announcements and take a couple of breaths. We'll come back and continue talking about your experiences with the criminal justice system here in New Orleans and specifically within Orleans Parish. We haven't even gotten out of the holding cell yet, folks, and it's a pretty harrowing tale. This public service announcement is brought to you by WTUL New Orleans. Center Plate is inviting local nonprofits to fundraise during the 2014-2015 event season at the Superdome and the New Orleans Sports Arena. Nonprofits are invited to take ownership of a concession stand during events to raise money for organization support. More information is available from Tanja Rogers at 504-264-4848. And WTUL, along with Simple Play and One Eye Jacks, present Polka with Web of Sunsets this Wednesday, October 8th at One Eye Jacks. I think I'm saying it wrong. It might be Policha, something like that. An alternative indie synth pop group hailing from Minneapolis blends melodic minimalism with heavy electronic beats. They will be following psych folk group Web of Sunsets. One Eye Jacks is located at 615 Toulouse Street, and more information can be found online at oneeyejacks.net. All right, let me play a song for you, and then we will be back with Diane Jones. You're listening to WTUL New Orleans 91.5 FM.
Trabajo de enero a enero y también de sol a sol y qué poquito dinero me pagan por mi sudor.
¿A dónde? All right, we are here in the studio with Diane Jones. You're listening to WTL New Orleans 91.5 FM. Okay. Diane, you ready to get back to telling the story? So where we left off, we're in a cold holding cell that's fit for 10 without any blanket. Well, that's fit for 10 and they're with 19 other people about, roughly. It's cold. Yeah. And they serve bologna sandwiches. So when did you get, you got in sometime at, so you arrested about 12 noon. What time would you say that you got into the holding cell?
About 3 o'clock.
Okay. And when would you say you got this bologna sandwich? How long after 3 o'clock?
Well, the young ladies was asking the guards. They was like, they were hungry. So mm-hmm. The guards was like, I'll get one of the guys to bring y'all some sandwiches. So they decided to, like, about an hour later, they brought us some sandwiches and water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. 4 o'clock.
And so it was just like, eat this. You don't. Did anybody request anything different? Did they have any dietary kind of restrictions that didn't allow them to eat that? And they requested something different from the guards. Did you see any of that?
No, but you can't. You can't request anything. There's no request. There's no such thing as a request. You have to eat what they have back there for you.
It just that makes my stomach hurt. Or just
even if you're like a Muslim or something like that, they would probably not eat because they're not going to eat that pork. It's pork.
Oh, okay.
But you can ask them.
So wait,
can you go to the tent?
Uh huh.
If you want to go get your bed, you can ask them. Like, you know, God, I'm hungry. Can you like walk me over to the tent? Like, if that's where you're going, y'all all could be like, you're ready to go because you're hungry, and you get over to the tents and eat slop too.
So they'll move you if you request to be moved out of the holding cell into a more, I don't know, permanent or semi-permanent temporary location. They'll do that?
Yeah, because you
that's
you
a request
came,
you can make?
Yeah, like you just came from court and your family might not have the buying money or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know you're going to the tents, but you can be like, y'all are ready because you're hungry because I've been in there since Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's Friday. You're giving me a bologna sandwich. It's time to eat. Yeah. You don't get anything else to eat. You get two sandwiches.
So wait, what time did you say you got the sandwich? So you got in at 3 o'clock. When did you get the sandwich?
Oh, I got in at 12. I rolled in at 12. I got a sandwich about 4 o'clock. I went to the holding tank at 3.
Okay. And
it was an hour later when they came with the sandwiches.
Okay. And then did you get anything to eat or drink from that time until you went to court in the morning?
No, there's nothing to eat.
So from 4 o'clock, that was the last time you got food in that cell?
Yeah. Like after you come from court, you go to the dorm and you'll be able to eat food.
Okay, so from 4 o'clock until sometime, was it still in the a.m. the next day when you got food?
Yes.
Okay, it was still at least in the a.m., but I mean, like, that's a long time to go for most folks, the ways in which we're accustomed to eating, from 4 o'clock up until the next morning without food. What was the morale? What was the feeling like inside of the holding cell?
It was horrible. It was horrible for real. I just wouldn't recommend that anybody do any crimes and go there because there's so many little kids in there that's doing crimes. I was in there with a young lady that was like really mentally ill. She had then jumped out of a cab, which was no more than about $10 or $15. And you can look at her and see that she was mentally ill. And she was like 18 years old, and I was like, this is really, really pathetic. They put all of us together. No matter what's going on with you, you go into the cage. Everybody go into the cage. It doesn't matter what your crime is. You go into the cage. Mm.
Okay. So, excuse me. Let's move out of the holding cell. And so you go to court. What is your experience in court like? How do they take you into court? Let's do that.
They take us in a van.
So how do they get you into the van? How do they get you out of your cell, into the courthouse?
They call all of us. They shackle all of us together. We have to wait for some old girls that's coming from, like, the tents that's going to court, too.
Do they just say, all of you, come on, shackle you up, or do they call you out name by name?
They call the names first, okay. And we get in a line.
Okay.
And then all of us come out, and they just shackle all of us together. And we
shackle
go to court.
You where?
Shackle all of our ankles together and our hands.
So you're shackled to your ankle to your ankle, and then...
Yeah, her ankle. I'm one with her. I have one with me and the other
one
with
people cannot see you. Just describe it. So okay, getting up will not help them.
Okay, it's like my legs are shackled, but there's a chain on all of us.
Okay, so there's like a linking chain that links all of your shackles together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A linking chain. Yeah, all of us are shackled together. Yes, figure it.
So, because now I'm all like wondering about the makeups of this chain. So, is it a one long piece, or is it like they can choose how many ankle shackles? I don't know what you'd call those.
It's like.
That they put on them, or do you see what I'm saying? Like, do they do it like, here's a pair of ankle shackles, here's a pair of ankle shackles, or is it just like a long chain so that we can really get a...
Ankle shackles and a long chain. The chain is going through the shackles so we won't get away.
Oh, okay.
To keep all of us from, like, getting away, yeah.
Okay, so it's a...
Like I said, everybody's shackled together no matter what your crime is.
So you have... So is there like a hole that they pull the long chain through, and then it just
Yeah.
All right, and so then you kind of do your shuffle, you have your hands.
Yeah, we
as
all
well.
Yeah, you have to.
And are they
be on
and they're
pace.
Chained to your feet, right? So you have your hands, your feet shackled, you're shackled in a line, and then you have your hands shackled to your feet.
Yeah,
and your hands are shackled together. Okay, so we all get that kind of picture, and you're. Doing the line shuffle. And then they put you in a van like that?
Yeah, they put
I don't us, even...
You have to
don't
like,
get up. Like,
get
people
up,
can't hear you.
You have to step down from the van. There's a stool that they put there, and you have to, like... The next girl, you have to, like, work together with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If she fall, you fall.
So it would be like dominoes.
Yeah, everybody's about to fall.
Okay. So you get in the van, and then you drive to the courthouse, and you do your shackle group dance to get off.
Yeah.
How are you being talked to, by the way, throughout from arrest to holding cell to, you know, ankle shacklet group dance to court? How are you being talked to by not just like the other shackled folks, but by the guards and the police and
they're just like telling you just come on. They just telling you come on. They want to rush you to get the court. There's like, you know, you have to go by their pace. You have to go by their rules. You have to come on and hurry up and get in court. Mm. And when you get in court and we're in the holding tank before you get to court, there was a young lady who did not know what was going on after we came from court. She was from the psych ward, and she was thinking that one of the young ladies that was there, that was getting out, that the judge said was getting out, had took her papers.
Mm-hmm.
Picture, she lashed out and wanted to fight one of the girls. So the deputies came in and talked to her and told her to sit down. So from there, I'm looking kind of crazy because, you know, I'm not going to let nobody put their hands on me. But that's kind of wrong that they will put the mentally ill in with possession of marijuana and for a taxi cab theft. thing that you will put us all together in one little holding tank to go to court. Mm-hmm. There are like 10 beds in here. All of us are sitting on the beds together. Everybody's mixed up. And we went to court like 20 to 30 deep. Yes, there were vans bringing you to court.
So how long, so what was the process? So you get to court, what's that process like?
You're in court forever. You have to wait for everybody to get through with court. Mm-hmm. Then you have to get transported back to the cage. And the other young ladies that's in the tents that have court too, they have to get transported back to the tents, right?
Okay.
So now you're waiting for them to put all of your paperwork in a computer. Now it's time for you to go.
Wait, what did they tell you, though, when you get to the court? What's your experience like? So you spent the night in jail. It's early in the morning. You haven't had another bologna sandwich. Have you had water or coffee yet?
No, yeah.
Okay, so you haven't even had any kind of hydration yet. You're in court. What they call your name. You go before the judge. What do they say to you?
They're just calling out your charges and giving you a bond.
Okay, so they say, Diane Jones, you're charged with attempt to distribute, possession of marijuana, and what was the third one?
Transaction of drugs.
And you say, do you say anything, or do you just stand there and like look at them and say, okay?
My public pretender got up and said something.
So you had a public defender already? How did you?
Yeah, they gave me a public pretender.
When did they assign you?
When I went to court, they gave me a public pretender, and I told them that I had a lawyer. My lawyer is Dennis Moore.
Okay. So why you say public pretender, which I have no problem with, but let the folks know why are you saying public pretender? What makes you call them that?
Because they pretend to help you, knowing that we don't have the money for these programs to take these drug tests, to pay fines and fees. That was the first thing that they offer us as black people, you know? Mm-hmm. And they know that most of these people that come into this jailhouse, these people are on drugs. They're not going to go and take a drug test. So what's the next step? They're rearrested. Mm-hmm. Some people don't have the money for this. And some people are scared to go to court and let them know that they don't have the money. But now they're saying that you can be a weekend warrior if you don't have your money.
So weekend warrior, explain that.
It's like you go in on a Friday and you come out Sunday for six.
Okay, so it's those folks that do their time on the weekends.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But okay, I understand about the weekend warrior. Okay, what about the treatment for this person? You understand my point of it. You're not understanding my point of view. Okay, I understand about being a weekend warrior, but there's also the program. Why can't you help this person when you know that this person is on drugs? Why can't you help them with better things than that instead of having them being a weekend warrior?
Right. Well, I totally agree with you. And sounds like the mentally ill, you ran into a lot of mental illness while you were inside as well.
Yeah, a lot of these young ladies, they were really, really mentally ill. A lot of these young ladies don't even know what they're there for. You know, and
so, okay, so let's we only got 13 minutes left. I know I was trying to slow stroll through this, but I think we'd need way more time to completely go through the process. So let's speed up a little bit. All right. So now after you're done with court, so they just tell you your charges and I don't know, I guess just put you back in a cage. I don't even understand how that works. How is it that you were put back in a cage and not let out? Did they bond you or what was the?
Yeah, I had to wait for them to put my stuff in the system. Once they decide to like put you in the system or whatever, then your family can bond you out. I was bonded out Saturday.
Okay.
But I was.
So Thursday, Friday, you're in court. Saturday, you get bonded out.
I was bonded out Saturday for 12 o'clock. I was released Sunday, 1 in the morning. Me and two other females.
So released at 1, even though you were bonded out at 12, you were released at 1 in the morning.
Yes, because Gusman had to get his money for that day.
Right.
They only can hold you for a certain amount of hours, and the phones were down. I had no way to call my family because the phone was down in the tents. And they just let three women out 1 o'clock in the morning just like that because they weren't going to pay for us to just stay in there till the next day to get out in the morning. Mm-hmm. And they just let us out. But my experience in the tents were, they were like leeches. There was 100 women to the tent. I was sleeping by the toilet. They didn't have any more beds. There were mentally ill, women on heroin, women on crack. Everybody's just together. You know, I think that they shouldn't put everybody together because a lot of these women really needed to go to the hospital. There were like two women that were on drugs so bad to where we had to put one of the ladies in a garbage can and keep running cold water on her because medical never came to the dorm to get her. She was asleep for like 2 days. Mm. I had to keep waking her up to ask her to eat because you have to make sure that she's putting something in her body. And that's not my job. That's the guard's job. And she kept crying all night. Nobody wouldn't even do anything for her. There was a lot of women that was in there that was on heroin that really needed to go to the hospital. And if we weren't there to help her, I think she would have died.
So it sounds like there was a lack of supervision inside.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's good that she had you and other folks inside to help her out, because it doesn't sound like the guards were doing much.
No, they're sitting in their boot while they're fighting. There's one young lady getting beat up in the bathroom by eight girls. You know, eight girls taking her in the bathroom. You can see that, but it's like they don't care. You're on your own when you get in there.
So they do watch this kind of stuff. So they just don't. They just turn a blind eye to it, or do they not see it? What would you say?
Well, the eight girls are like to really block it so they can't see it. So I think they see it, but they don't want to. Okay, why are they up in the boot, and we're all on the dorm? There's nobody walking the dorm with us.
Okay.
There's nothing to do on the dorm. There's no books, no nothing on the dorm. There's nothing for you to do. There's leeches on the face bowl when you get up in the morning. There's leeches. The water is constantly running in the tents, constantly running. So there are leeches coming up on the face bowl. When you get up in the morning, there are leeches on the face bowl. There's lights. There's everything in there.
All right. Whew. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is a lot, and we could, so let's move on a little bit. So that's kind of was your experience. Oh, so you and getting out at 1 a.m, what was that like with you and the two other women, you said? So got bonded out at 12 p.m. However, you didn't get released for 13 hours until 1 a.m. Why do you think that you didn't get released until 1 a.m, and then what was it like to be released at that time?
I think he was just waiting for his money to come in for that day because he get paid for keeping you, but once the bond hit, you have to go. You have to get off their property, and that's exactly how it go. It doesn't matter what time it is. And if the phones are down, I have nobody to pick me up or anything, and my clothing were lost. I left out of there with their shirt on, which I still have.
Were you able, how did you get home at 1 a.m?
I walked home. I had no other choice because you can't stay on a property. You have to really leave. I had to walk home. I walked all the way from there to the Tre Mae area by myself.
Were you given the opportunity to make a phone call?
No, they wouldn't let me use the phone in the holding tank. He wouldn't let us use the phone.
So it's just like, they come in there. Were you sleeping or anything, or were you just like waiting?
Yeah, we was sleeping, and it was like, Jones, other names, roll out. So you have.
So they just pop up in there, middle of the night. You're sleeping. Roll out. Here's your stuff. Get out of here.
Yes.
No phone call. No, it's 1 a.m.
I'm going to.
We're not going to escort you anywhere. We're not going to.
I was trying to go to the phone, but she kept saying the phone is still down. I'm like, okay, you're going to let me out. You know, it's like 1 a.m. And she was like, come on, y'all have to come on. Get your stuff. Come on. That's how they talk to you. Come on. So you have no other choice but to just go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have a sweatshirt. In January, it was freezing. I was freezing in the tent. It was raining. There was rain dripping from the top of the tent onto the top bed, coming down, sitting by the toilet. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. We only have a few minutes left. And so I know that recently you got to go back in to OPP. So because we only have 5 minutes left, I was hoping that we'd have more time to talk about what happened while you were in there. And I know you don't want to divulge too much information about why you were there. I know you were in there with an organization, but so what kind of, when were you in there? How recently were you in OPP? Not as an inmate, but as a guest, shall we say?
Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in there Saturday.
Okay. What kind of things did you see going back as a guest, having access to other parts? What was it like experiencing it as someone, not going to visit someone specifically, but going in with an organization? What was that like for you?
It was terrible. I was looking at TP1, where there is a wheelchair dorm with no doctors, no anything. There's just wheelchairs and crutches on a dorm.
So is that like a medical ward or?
Yes, that was considered a medical ward.
Okay. So what other facilities did you go to?
I went to the girls' Templeman too. And now, you know,
you look like you have copious notes there that you took.
Yeah, I went to the girls' dorm. The Tiger machine was broken in the girls' dorm, so that means you can't make store. You can't do anything.
What's this machine that you're talking about?
Like the commissary machine where you go and get your personal stuff.
So it's a machine that you get the commissary. So, because,
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On Orange is the New Black, you know, you have a person that you go to, like a little storefront, but in OPP it's a machine. And tell us about this machine.
Yeah, it's a machine that you go on and you order your things that you need, your little personal things, your Zuzus, and all kind of things like that. When the machine's broke and you can't get your commissary, that causes conflict. And not just that, you're in, if nobody don't want to go outside, you can't go outside. There's no clocks or anything in there.
So what? Okay, so commissary, personal items, what are you provided with from the prison? What are you provided with? So are you given toothbrush? Are you given, obviously you're given
tissue paper, a half of ivory soap,
uh-huh,
a cup and a spoon and a little thing of toothpaste. That's all you get. But you have to have your money, like your family can put your money on your books.
Okay.
And the Tiger machine is for that. Okay, I'm in prison, but your machine isn't working. I'm upset now because I have money and I can't make commissary. You're not bringing me outside, and I'm getting frustrated.
Of course. Yeah. All right, so what are some of the other things that you encountered while you were in OPP recently? Like, did you get some kind of... Were you able to talk to inmates?
I was able to talk to inmates. In TP1, the TV was taken for the weekend. The guards took the TV.
For the weekend?
Yes, for the weekend, the guards took the TV. How can you punish everybody, you know,
uh-huh,
for the weekend? How could you stop everybody from watching TV because...
Oh, the TV. I thought you said the TP. I'm like, they took the toilet paper away. That's okay. The TV. That's a little bit different. Did they say why the TV was taken away?
I was told that the dorm was shaking down and somebody said something about a cell phone was on a dorm. And they came in and they shook the dorm down and they took the television for a weekend. So they couldn't watch TV for the weekend. And this was the infirmary dorm.
What other kind of activities were folks doing when you were in there? Like, so they had TV. What else did they have?
Oh, God. What else did they have? Hardly anything. There's no books or anything for them to read. Most of them that was coming up to us, there was like, you know, they wanted to, like, get some books to read and stuff like that. There isn't anything for them to do.
Mm.
You know, and I don't think that's right, but why would we house Plaquemine when our jail facility isn't even ready for our own people? Why would we house Plaquemine, and why would we be housing DOC?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense to me, to house other people when we're not even complete with what we're doing.
Right.
We went in Conchetta, and when you flush the toilet from the third floor, it's coming down to the first floor.
So what does that mean?
That means your feces and everything is coming down to each floor.
So there are feces on the walls.
Yes, it was dripping down on the walls. You can look into the towel and it was coming down. It's on the wall. It stains on the wall.
Mm.
And you can smell it.
All right, so we have about a minute left, and I know you have so much more to say and so much more to talk about, but at 9 o'clock we have to play Democracy Now. What do you want to leave us with, and what would, and I do also always like to kind of, if I can remember, to ask a visioning question. So in a humane, just world, what would... Obviously, there wouldn't necessarily be an OPP in a humane, just world, but what would you vision, like, how would we change something? Like, how would we change the way the OPP looks? So tell us, so anything that you want to leave us...
Get rid of all the guards and get rid of Gusman.
The simple answer. Well, we didn't do that last election. So any, just, you have about 30 seconds. Anything that you want to leave us with that you haven't gotten to say, or... that you want to reiterate, that's a really important point about, like, your story about what's going on in the city with criminal justice and OPP and all that.
Okay. I feel that Orleans Parish Prison is a trap for every black young man that's living in this city, because we have to be there for 9 o'clock in the morning. If you're not there in their courtroom for 9 in the morning, you're going to jail. And I feel or believe there are some white people that's in the line, but our jail is really filled up with black people. And we're getting offered 10, 20, 30 to life. There wasn't a person that was in there that I didn't talk to that told me, well, I'm looking at like 10 years. Why are we still giving time? Why aren't we trying to help these people? Like, put more mentally ill hospitals around. Put rehab places around. Let's stop locking them up. And when you come home, they're doing the same thing and they're going back getting locked up again. So we're really not helping them. We're making it worse for them. And I don't think that is right what they're doing. I really don't. I don't think that is right. But, hey, there's nothing that we can do about it. You know, but you have to stand up for your rights and stand up for your kids.
Right on. Well, Diane, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We really appreciate you taking the time to come in here and relive that with us. This is what's going on in there. This isn't happening yesterday. This isn't, you know, happening tomorrow. This is happening right now. It's happening all the time. This is what's going on in our city. And our country and across the world, we're holding people like this. And by the way, mind you, OPP is not a place where we send people to punish them, right? That's a place where they're just supposed to be held until we decide that they're, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But obviously, you know, you arrest and cage someone, it's automatic punishment, right? So there's... We could go on and on, but it is 9 o'clock, time for Democracy Now. Diane Jones, thank you for coming in and sharing with us.
You're welcome.
We are going to have you back sometime to hear more about what you have to say. I really appreciated it. Okay. Well, it's 9 o'clock, so I have to, and I'm running a little bit behind. So actually, it's past 9 o'clock. So let me read the calendar for you. And then we will go into Democracy Now. You are listening to WTUL New Orleans 91.5 FM. Tonight, around the city, Chickiwawa, 8 p.m., Pat Casey and the New Sound with Robin Barnes. At the Circle Bar, 10 p.m., Kelly Swindle with Lorraine Leckie and her Demons. Happy Hour, Shot and a Haircut, 6 to 9 p.m. Preservation Hall, the Southern Syncopators with Steve Pistoras, 8 p.m. Siberia has Sword and Backpack, Siberia Game Night at 6 p.m. with DJ Fernstock and Smith. Who's ever calling, please call back after I'm off the air because I cannot answer the phone right now. At 9 p.m., Sarah Quintana, Snug Harbor, 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., Uptown Jazz Orchestra. The Spotted Cat has Sarah McCoy at 4 p.m., Orlean 6 at 6 p.m., Antoine Deal and the New Orleans Misfit Power at 10 p.m., House of Blues, it's all ages event, 7 p.m., Somo plus Pell plus Francesco Yates. One Eye Jacks, 9 p.m., doors open for Simple Play and WTUL presents Policha with Web of Sunsets. That's 9 p.m. Helen Wolf, 9 p.m. in the Den, Pocket Aces Brass Band, the Britannia Theater, This Is Where I Leave You, The Drop, and The Big Sleep. Call 504-891-2787 for showtimes. And finally, at the Indiewood Movie Theater. Oh, wait. I think they're actually... It's not finally yet because there's Zeitgeist still to go. At the Indiewood Movie Theater at 7 p.m., The Dog, a documentary portrait of the late John Wachtowicz, whose attempted robbery of a Brooklyn bank to finance his male lover's sex reassignment surgery was the real-life inspiration for Dog Day Afternoon, that film from 1975. So they're showing The Dog at 7 p.m., which is the story for... which Dog Day Afternoon is based upon, and then they're going to play Dog Day Afternoon at 9 p.m. That's happening at the Indiewood Movie Theater, and then finally at the Zeitgeist at 5:30 p.m., The Trip to Italy by Michael Winterbottom, a British comedy starring Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. 7:30 p.m., As It Is in Heaven by visiting filmmaker Joshua Overbay, an indie drama about a religious cult. 9:30 p.m., The Zero Theorem by Terry Gilliam, a sci-fi thriller starring Christoph Waltz, Matt Damon, Tilda Swinton, David Thewlis, Melanie Theory, Lucas Hedges, Ben Whishaw, and Rupert Friend. Okay, it's time for Democracy Now!, y'all. You're listening to WTUL New Orleans, 91.5 FM.